shout it out loud. You are glorious. Glorious. Shout it out and glorious. Make it louder. Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your praise.
He is worthy. He is holy. He is the Almighty. He is everlasting. He's the first and the last. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is God. Praise God. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. We want to greet everyone in the name of Jesus and on behalf of Pastor Roy Grant and Sister Lois Grant. You probably already know that Pastor is working his way through an attack of COVID-19. He's hoping to get back to service soon. Keep him in prayer. And I contacted him yesterday. I haven't talked to him this morning at all. But he said it's been rough, but they're slowly getting better. He's slowly getting better. So keep him in mind. Amen. Amen. Welcome to all of our guests here in the auditorium and online. We're glad that you're with us. We hope you have a moment to take and let us know that you're with us. If you're here, you can get a connection card from one of the ushers if you haven't already, and we'll encourage you to turn that back in with the information on it so that we can give you a small gift, and then we can also let you know how much we appreciate your being with us this morning in the house of God. Thank you for everyone who's here. We know that we've kind of juggled the schedule a little bit, and you understand it's for everyone's safety, but we're still having church, right? Hallelujah. The church never stops. Praise God. We do have some information on giving options that I need to share with you. If you're worshiping today in person, you can drop off your offering in the offering box out on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can give at CGC's website or mail it in. And here's something brand new. I always want to do my commercial voice for that. Brand new! We have a new church management system, and you can give directly through an app called Church Center. If you're at home, you can pull out your phones right now. Go to your camera and scan the QR code for either Apple or Android, and that QR code will take you to where you can download the app. If you're here in person, those QR codes are printed on the offering box at the kiosk, and you can also search the App Store or Google Play for Church Center. The App Store for Church Center. Once you download the app, search for Calvary Gospel Church and get your account set up. And you can go into the giving section. And any giving questions, see Pastor Jessica. Any app questions, Church Center app questions, see Pastor Phil. Amen. Isn't that exciting? All right, next weekend we have another special speaker. We're so glad that Pastor Wright is with us this morning. Looking forward to hearing him minister to us. He has some direction from the Lord. He wants to motivate the church, and you're going to be interacting at every level this morning here at Calvary Gospel Church online and here in person. So be ready for that. Get your texting fingers ready or your keyboard fingers ready. But next week we will have with us Brother Don Hanscom. Brother Hanscom is a former missionary. He served on the mission field for many, many years. He has, and with great success, he came back to the United States and became the director for multicultural ministries for the United Pentecostal Church International. After serving in that post for many years, he now is the coordinator for multicultural ministry evangelists. So we had Brother Reddy here last year. Whenever a multicultural ministry evangelist is on the road, Brother Hanscom coordinates that. But in addition to all that, he has now been called to another level of ministry, another area of ministry, and his ministry has been very effective in miracles and healings and gifts of the Spirit. So we're looking forward to having him come for that. It's a great opportunity if you know someone who has a great need. If you yourself have a great need, this is the opportunity to come and be in the house of God. We will also be taking up our All Nations Sunday offering next Sunday. And to try not to be too confusing, it won't be our All Nations Sunday. If you remember, we celebrated All Nations Sunday when we did our Summer Fun Fest. So we won't have the flags and the focus of All Nations Sunday in the service, but we will be taking up our offering. So please keep that in mind. Multicultural ministries benefits from this offering. 40% of that money will stay in our district to help promote multicultural ministries here in the District of Wisconsin. Multicultural ministries is the United Pentecostal Church's coordinated effort to reach out to those populations that are here in the United States that have come with different cultural norms or language barriers that reside here in the United States but haven't yet assimilated into our culture. We're trying to reach those cultures by sending people into the culture. For example, even though they were here before we were, the Native American culture, we do have a large presence of missionaries on the Native American reservations around the United States. In addition, deaf ministry falls under this umbrella, and there are actually 16 different people groups that are covered under the umbrella of multicultural ministry. So if you want to reach the whole world while staying right here in the United States, you can do so by contributing to this All Nations Sunday offering for multicultural ministries. And everyone said amen. Praise God. Why don't we stand? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We have a prayer request for Erin Banks and her family. Erin's mother, Katie, died on October 6th. So please pray for the family that they can, for this time of loss, for the Erin Banks family. In Jesus' name, let's pray for our service here. Let's continue to pray for our pastor, for all of those that we know who are at home with COVID. There are a number of people that would be here that aren't here because of that. So let's keep them in mind. In Jesus' name. Boy, I feel the presence of the Lord. Just talking about prayer, I feel the Holy Ghost starting to move here. So let's pray in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus Christ, we know, God, that you are faithful and that you know every need before we pray. You know right where our brothers and sisters are. You know right where Pastor Roy is. You know right where every member of your body is at this very moment. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would hear our prayer and move in a great way and release virtue and healing in all of these, in Brother Jay's body, in the Simmons family, oh God, in the Stone family, Lord, in Pastor Roy, in all of these brothers and sisters whose names we are all placing before you. We pray, God, for the ministry of the Holy Ghost to do a great work and for the Word of God to be in us so we can speak healing, oh God, for those who have the greatest need in this hour. We pray for the Erin Banks family, for ministry in the Holy Ghost of comfort and strength, that they, even those who do not know you, would feel you ministering to them, the comfort that you are extending to all humanity in this hour. I pray, Jesus, draw every hungry heart into your presence that they may know that you care about them. We pray, Jesus, for the remainder of this service, that your name, oh God, would be glorified, that you would give Brother Wright, continue to give Brother Wright great liberty as he ministers to this congregation, and let us be open, have open hearts and minds to receive the ministry that you have prepared for us, so that you can build and shape the body of Christ into your image, so that we can become more like you, and so that your will can be done and your kingdom can come. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. And everyone said amen.
Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you.
nothing, withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing,
withholding nothing.
I give it all to you,
withholding nothing.
I give myself away,
withholding nothing.
I give it all to you, Jesus.
Give myself away.
Let the Holy Ghost talk to your heart right now. It's so good to be in God's presence. It's an awesome presence. I love you, Jesus. You may have noticed the banners and the backdrop out in the auditorium. If you weren't aware of it, the district Spanish conference was here Friday and Saturday. Pastor Fabian Martinez, of course, is the director for Spanish ministries here in our district, and they had their district Spanish conference here at Calvary Gospel Church. I haven't had a chance to talk to Pastor Fabian, but it's very exciting to see what he's done with this group. Another bit of bittersweet news, exciting and not so easy to accept, but Brother Rafael and Sister Lacey Valoria will be attending their last service at Voces Unidas this afternoon, and they will be honored. What they're going to do is transfer to the Watertown Church, and they're going to help do the Spanish ministry, Spanish outreach from the Watertown Church going forward. So it's good news for the work of God, good news for Rafael and Lacey. Of course, they've been a big help to Voces Unidas, to Pastor Fabian. They've been a big help also to African International Ministries. So please keep them in prayer. And if you have the opportunity, join Voces Unidas at 1 o'clock for this farewell to the Valorias. Praise God. It's our privilege this morning to have with us Pastor Aaron Wright, pastor and evangelist from Danville, Pennsylvania. Praise God. We know him. He's been here before. He has spent had some conversation with Pastor Roy Grant, and they've discussed the direction of the service. And so everything that he's about to present here, he's got pastor's authority and anointing. So I want to encourage everyone to respond accordingly, to not only honor our guest, but also to honor the direction and the oversight of our pastor. And of course, I believe that it's God himself who's brought Brother Wright here, and that he will be using him to minister to this congregation. So, Brother Wright, please come.
Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Let's just do this right off the bat. If you have not lifted up your voice to the Lord yet, I want to give you just one more time to shake yourself and to raise your hands as high as you can to the Lord and lift up a voice of praise in this house, all over this house. Would you lift up your hands? Would you lift up your voices? Would you lift up your heart? And would you just thank the Lord, amen, for his goodness? Would you thank him for his mercy? Come on, somebody, with a loud voice. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We give glory to your name, Jesus. There's none like you. Oh, come on, somebody. Doesn't that feel good? Amen. To praise and to magnify Jesus together. Amen, amen. Let's clap our hands one more time here this morning. Amen. It is so good to be back here with you all here in Madison, Wisconsin. I know the Lord is with us today. Brother John Grant, he took me out fishing yesterday when I got in it at about 10:20 yesterday morning, and my second cast, I caught like a 32-inch northern pike. Come on, somebody. Amen. I know it's confirmation. Amen. He broke it to me nicely. I was like, man, I need a tape measure. I might mount this thing. He's like, Brother Wright, these things are babies at this size. You need a bigger one. I'm like, oh, man. He like stole my thunder, broke my heart all in one word, but I know the Lord is with us, and obviously I'm just joking around with that. I thank you for allowing me to be here. Grab your Bibles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. I'll read verses 1 through 5. As you're turning there, I give high honor to your pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. How many love your pastor and Sister Lois? Come on now. Amen. It's Pastor Appreciation Month, and even if it wasn't, I would still give him high honor. And thanks to your executive pastor, Brother John, his wife, and to the rest of the pastoral staff, I give you high honor here this morning. Amen. There are too many friends here, Man Up alumni, people that I've met over the years for me to call people out, but I love you all, and I appreciate everybody, amen, over the years that has been a friend to me and my family. And then also my wife, my lovely wife, and my children, my home church. I have instructed them to pray for this service and to pray over you all while I'm preaching. And so just know there's a church in Pennsylvania that's praying for you guys, and my wife and family as well. I have called the entire church to be a part. I've asked Brother Grant 2 days ago, 3 days ago, somewhere around there to rally the church. Whether you're here presently or you're watching online, I have called this church to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want people on the fringes. Come on, somebody. Now's not the day to be on the outside or the skirts or the fringes of what God is doing. Now's the day to be involved and in the center of what God is doing. Thank you for the three or four people over here to my left. Hey, so here's the thing. I'm not a novice at this. I do look like I'm 20 years old. I get it, and I look young, and that's where you're supposed to preach me. But listen, I have gone to war for churches more times than I'd like to have to admit, and I understand whenever I am saying something and there's a reluctance, it's not the people that will incite me to preach or to break the back of what I'm feeling. It's the spirit behind what I'm feeling. All right, and so I have come today, and I'm throwing it right out there, I have come to do my best to be a part of breaking the back of spiritual strongholds that's warring at this church. And I just hope to God that a preacher coming in from the outside isn't as excited or more excited about breaking the back of an adversary than the people that are in here, right now. Amen. I have come to touch the throne of God, and I'm asking, are you going to try to touch the throne of God with me? Amen. I have called this entire church. I told Pastor to make an announcement. If you're watching online, thank you for watching online. I'm going to give you specific instructions. If you're watching via the website and there are no means or methods for which you can comment on, then I'm asking you, if you have Pastor John's number or Pastor Jessica's number, I'm asking you to text them throughout the preaching and let them know that you are present with us. If you're on Facebook and you're watching, I'm going to ask you specifically to get on Facebook comments and let us know that you're here. And as we preach and I preach, Sister Jessica, you're going to notice she's going to come up beside me and she's going to have a list of names or people that are commenting. I'm going to give her the mic and she's going to say thank you so-and-so for being here as a part of this church. Are you with me? And if I say anything that's true today, I want you that are present to preach me. I want you to be with me. I want you to say amen. I want you to be on your feet. Amen. You're not doing that for me. When Peter preached the message in Pentecost, it said this, and Peter standing up with the 11. Amen. I get it. Sometimes in church, we stand up and down and know we're not getting our daily squat count in for the day. Amen. But when we stand and we preach with the preacher, what we're letting everybody around us in hell know is I believe what that man is saying and the promises of God, they're for me, they're for this church. Amen. And so again, those online, I want you to be preaching with me via Facebook and the comments there or text and let us know that you are here. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand, watch us, to vex certain of the church. Not the entire church, but certain of the church. The English Standard Version says about that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. Again, not the entire church, but only certain people or some of the people that were a part of the church. Amen. It would be safe to say that Herod was assaulting the church, but not just the church. The scripture says some who belonged to the church. Verse 2 will now define who was being targeted by Herod. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword in verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, watch, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Those were the days of unleavened bread. So very clearly we see this morning that Herod was targeting and headhunting the leaders of the church. Are you reading it like I'm reading it? He didn't try to persecute the entire church. He went headhunting after certain people in the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, and now he's headhunting or targeting Peter. When he had apprehended him, he put him into prison, delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Now hear me. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. The devil has always been an adversary to the church. And there has always been an adversary. And the truth of the matter is when you break the back and cut the head off of one of your adversaries, when you gain spiritual authority over one, immediately you'll be targeted by another. Immediately hell will begin to shift its focus and come at you from a different angle or a different way. Jesus said, "Occupy until I come." We are living and occupying in hostile territory. You understand that, right? There's a spiritual battle that's happening for your soul right here, right now. Hello, somebody. Paul says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. I'm still reading my text. I know it's a little lengthy, but bear with me. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some of us need to get that revelation right now. We're not fighting against each other. You're still my brother. You're still my sister. Amen. It doesn't matter if we're totally agreeing on everything. We're not going to fight against each other. Amen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so again, we're living in hostile territory. There's always been a fight, but this morning I would like to go on record to say that God has always had an answer. Amen. God has always had a solution to the attacks of hell, and that solution, that answer is a church without ceasing. Amen. A church that will step up to the plate, amen, and will fight against hell, will do their part and war against the adversary. I want to preach this morning with the help of God, a church without ceasing. A church without ceasing. Would you set your Bibles down? Would you lift your hands up as high as you can to the Lord? And would you ask one more time? Would you let the Lord know? My heart is open. My spirit is ready. Challenge me. Help me to feel the unction of the Spirit that's going to be upon this place and upon this message. Would you lift up your voice right now? Jesus, I'm asking this morning again, God, that you would touch our minds. Pray, church, with me. Come on now. See, now we're fighting right now. There's a little resistance. Amen. We need to open up our mouth, and we need to be a church without ceasing, a church that knows how to get into the vein and the flow of the supernatural. Amen. Would you lift up your voices? Jesus, everyone that's here, every voice that you hear right now, every hand that's raised, I'm praying for the unction of the Holy Ghost that has rested upon my mind and my spirit to be our articulated here this morning, God, that we can challenge, Lord, the spirit that is warring against this church, that we can step up to the plate. Let your anointing begin to flow even now, Jesus. Let there be a confirmation of your spirit. Touch our hearts and our minds, and we won't fail to give you praise. We love you, and we magnify you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say, in Jesus' name. Oh, I said, let's say, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Jesus. Give somebody an air high five, smile at them through your mask, and say, Jesus is awesome. Amen. You may be seated. I am recalling a rather funny Mother's Day story that my pastor used to tell during Mother's Day. Amen. And as I am reading this, I want Sister Jessica, if there are people getting on, come on up here, and we're gonna do a practice run of this. But it was a Mother's Day.
Lots of names here. Praise God. Somebody. We got Julie Powell, Dolores Nira, Nicole Snyder, Matt and Brooke Moran, Raquel Henry, Jay Henry, the Brunkers, Lynn Wagner, the Carpenters, Nasley, Pastor Peter.
Come on now.
Pastor Simmons, Lindsay Osborne, Gael.
Come on, somebody.
Tom and Diane Nelson.
Come on, we're in this together.
Linda and Kevin Brown. Audrey Hawk.
Come on, somebody. I thank you for being online. You're going to preach us today. Amen. But a funny Mother's Day story that my pastor used to tell us. One afternoon, a man came home from work to find total mayhem in his house. His three children were outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud with empty food boxes and wrappers strewn throughout all of the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the door of the house. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was wadded against one of the walls. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring a cartoon channel, and the family room was strewn with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. Dog food was spilled on the floor. Broken glass lay under the table. A small pile of sand was spread by the back porch. He quickly headed upstairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried that she may have fallen ill or something bad had happened to her. Instead, he found her in the bedroom, lounging, still curled up in bed in her pajamas, amen, reading a novel. She just looked up at him when he came into the room and smiled and said, "How was your day today, hon?" Bewildered, shocked, Didn't quite know what to say. The man said this: husbands, I'm going to step on your toes, and wives, you're going to end up preaching me in just a moment. But he said this: what in the world happened here today? It's always a dangerous questions, especially after 18 years of marriage. Hello, somebody. And with a smile on her face, she just replied and said, well, you know, every time you come home from work and you always ask me, so what in the world did you do today? She says. How many husbands know what I'm talking about now? Come on, where are you at? That's right. I see hands all. You know how you always ask me what I've done today? Are there any at-home moms in the house here? Let me see your hand. Anybody at home? Come on back there. They know what I'm talking about. Some over here. We got some about ready to run the aisles. You know what? When you come home and you always ask me what I did, she replies, well, today I didn't do it. The truth of the matter is sometimes we really don't know how much someone is really adding or helping until they just don't do it. I will say it like this. The truth of the matter is sometimes we really don't know how much someone is really adding or helping until they cease to be who they are. And although this is just a story relatable to moms on Mother's Day today, I am reminded of the importance of the Church of the Living God. Amen, somebody. I am reminded just how important it is that the church never takes the day off. Amen. And I have come with an unction on my spirit to preach to the church that now is not the day to drift in your walk with God. Now is not the day to be lulled to sleep in your spirit. Amen. Now is not the hour for you to sit back in the coast with cruise control on as you sit back and you sip coffee in your PJs. But rather, I'm preaching to the church this morning, amen, that God is calling us to be alert spiritually, an on fire church, a revival church, a natural church, a devil stomping gates of hell breaking church, amen, a church that knows what it's like to walk in the spirit, a church that is ready for a fight, a church that's not just sitting back but is ready to advance the gates of hell. That's the church that God is calling every one of us to be a part of today.
Hallelujah. Worshiping with us, we have Robert Wells, Brad Clock, Brandon Matt, Sierra Graper, the Stone family, Sarah Hughes Heather. Jones, Jane Rossing, Tim and Kim Knopp. Praise God.
Together. Let's worship together. Come on right now. In your living room, amen, wherever you're at online, worship with us. Would you clap your hands and would you just let Jesus know that I'm going to be a part of the New Testament church. I'm going to be a part of a revival church. Oh, I love you, Jesus. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. There's not one of us who haven't been impacted last year and even this year by COVID-19. Our entire world has been affected, and here in the United States of America, evil has been advancing. This entire time, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wickedness in high places. I'm going to tell you that the way the spirit of the Antichrist will come in the last days is he will look for whatever party, whatever person that will go with the flow and will fit his agenda. And whenever a person fits the spirit of the Antichrist agenda, you will see that rise up, amen, and begin to afflict the people of God. It's amazing to me that I could preach back in December, amen, last December after I preached here and no masks were required and nothing was going on. But then I would get on the airport and I'd go to a different city and it seemed like everything was on lockdown or a different city. It literally baffled me at how much I saw a variance in the spirit of fear that was working in the church of the living God. People are hurting. People are looking for answers. People are being suffocated by fear. Anxieties are as high as they've ever been. And if there's to be the church, amen, it is the day that we're living in right now. If there's ever a day the church needs to preach Christ, it's today. It's the hour that we live. The truth is, I saw the GIFs, the GIFs, however you say it, and the memes on Facebook during COVID-19. When churches had to shut down, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm not on a soapbox. I'm reaching for the people on the fringes. I'm reaching for the people where your prayer life has died out. I'm reaching for the people right now, not just because you're sick, but online where you haven't come back to church at all. I'm reaching for the people whose prayer life is dying. I saw the memes and the GIFs on Facebook. After 8 or 10 weeks, Pastor John, where no church was, they would post, it would be that GIF of Forrest Gump running as fast as he could. And this would be their comment, this is me on my way back to church the first morning. It would be a Holy Ghost throwdown or people dancing and shouting and going crazy. And they'd be like, well, this is going to be me on our way back to church. But the truth of the matter is there's more people than I would like to admit that has yet not come back to church, amen, since all of this has happened. We had a sectional meeting and ministers gathered together and they said this, that they were still having a hard time getting people to come back to church. You know why? Because if we're not careful, we can let a spirit of apathy creep into our walk with God, a spirit of complacency get a hold of us in the days that we're living in. Amen. And if we're not careful, we can drift ever so slowly, ever so little back and forth until the place where you're not even going to church anymore. Come on, somebody. Let me reach as politely as I can by saying the stakes are too high for us to be casual in our walks with God. Eternity is at stake. You're not playing games with a job where you can get another job. You're not playing games with a neighbor. You're not playing games with something that's temporary. This is an eternal, everlasting walk with God. Amen. This is spiritual eternity that we're talking about. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Not knowing therefore the love, although God is love. Second Thessalonians, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. When you think of spending eternity separated from God, living in eternal suffering, listen, that scares me. I have a healthy fear of God, not where I think my God's going to beat me down every time I slip, not where God's playing whack-a-mole and every time I fall, I get back up, he tries to beat me down. That's not the God I serve, but there is a part of a fear in me that fears God, because we're not playing, amen, with temporal matters. The way we live our life and our passion and our fervency and our walk with God, it matters. It matters. I don't want to spend eternity lost away from God.
with eternal suffering and hell on the line, does it seem unreasonable to you that when this preacher stands here this morning and says to you, if you can go to Walmart, my God, you better be able to go to church? If you can go to the grocery store, my friends, you can make it to church. If you can spend hours a day binge watching Netflix, my God, you can pick up the Word of God and you can spend 30 minutes reading God's Word. If you can spend hours a day on Facebook, my God, somebody, you can get on your knees and pray until God changes your life. Oh, I wish somebody would help me preach. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to stir you. Don't die in the end day. Don't fall asleep in the 11th hour.
Praise God. We have Norman. We have Norman Puckett. We have Joanna Topp. We have Justin and Sarah Wall, Dave and Ellen Hobb, Sam and Kelly.
Come on, let's worship together in your living room and here at this church. Statistics say social media time is out the roof. Time spent on Netflix and other streaming venues is out the roof. Time, somebody say time. Time will stand against us in judgment because every one of us has had the same amount of time. And yet some are capitalizing on the time that they have and some are squandering the time that they have. And during this most unprecedented time where time is being wasted, I stand here this morning and let you know assuredly that hell has not taken the day off. Hell hasn't given back down or stood away. Hell has been taking advantage this entire time.
And then the church struggles with 10 minutes of prayer a day. The church struggles with shutting down media and shutting down your phone and shutting down the distractions and just grabbing the Word of God and encouraging yourself. Listen, I promise you, when the church takes the day off, hell destroys marriages. When church sits back and they coast, young people drift away from God. When the church kicks back in their PJs, amen, hell wreaks havoc in our lives and in our cities. When the church takes the day off, hell advances with destruction. Come on, somebody. I'm coming to you this morning, amen, with an unction in my spirit. Stay awake, stay alert, be ready for the occasion. Equip yourself with the whole armor of God. I believe that the devil is very strategical in how he wars against the church of God. Therefore, I feel like the people of God should also be very strategical in how they fight the devil. In our text, Herod wasn't persecuting all of the church, but rather he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, or he laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He kills James, the brother of John, and when he saw it pleased the Jews, then he goes headhunting and he targets specifically Peter. And so this particular adversity and attacks was directed towards the leadership in Jerusalem. Again, our adversary is very strategical. Are you still with me? Our adversary is very strategical in how he attacks the church. Most of the times we are familiar with the first mode of attack because it involves us. Hell comes against our finances. Hell comes against our marriage, our families, our homes. Hell attacks our minds. And we are so familiar with that first mode because it involves us. And during the times where hell has attacked us personally,
we 100% lean to leadership and to a pastor, amen, to help us during the hard times of fight or battle. Am I right?
Come on now.
But there is also a time where the devil focuses not upon us, but rather he focuses upon leadership or the man of God that's in our lives. And this is where we aren't as familiar with concerning the attacks of hell. We are used to pastor warring for us, but there are also times where we need to war for our pastor. Help me, somebody. It's a no-brainer that pastor comes to your rescue. It's apostolic. He stands in the gap for you. He gets in the way between you and the devil and says, hey, get your hands off of my people. Get your hands off of their life. You like that part because he fights for you. Hebrews 13:7, obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves. For they watch after your soul as ones that must give an account, that they may be able to do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. That's a scripture every person needs to memorize. You literally have the ability to make the job of a pastor a job where he likes it. That they may do it with joy. What's that look like? Well, pastor saw something in my spirit and he said, hey, I noticed something in your spirit that I didn't like and I see it's detrimental to you. And you got two ways to respond. You can say, thank you so much, pastor, for looking at my soul. I'm going to humble myself with humility. I'm not going to raise up. Or you can say, well, who are you to tell me? And so your spirit and attitude towards leadership makes this scripture right here. Your pastor looks after you. He's here for you. He'll fight hell for you. How many are thankful for your leadership and your pastor? But just as much as that's apostolic, I see in the book of Acts that the church comes and wars on the behalf of their pastor. When Herod began to attack the leaders, the church rallied together. Amen. And they begin to pray. You know what they were basically saying you know what, hell, you might be fighting Herod. You might think that you have the upper hand, but we're going to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to intercede on your behalf. In other words, hey, that's my pastor. Get your hands off of him. Hey, you're not going to do that to him. I'm going to stand in the way now. I'm going to rally with the church, and I'm going to fight for my pastor. This isn't a one-time scripture. The Old Testament gives us an account where Moses was going to lead the people of God into the promised land, Exodus 17:8, and Amalek came and fought against Israel in Rephidim. Verse 11, and it came to pass that Moses held up his hands, and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. In other words, he couldn't hold them up any longer. In other words, even though he was the man of God, he still had to work through flesh. He was still a man that put his sandals on 1 foot at a time. His hands began to get heavy, and they began to fall down. And they took a stone and they put it under him, and they sat Moses there on. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
I don't know about you, Pastor John, but when it comes to me and my pastor, anytime somebody would read that scripture to me, something would stir in my heart. Some of them would say, okay, come on. I'm ready for the fight. I might not be the man of God, but guess what? I have a part. Pastor, where are you at? And get up underneath his arm and say, you keep them hands up. I'm on your side. I've got your back. I'm here for you. I'm fighting the vision with you. You're not alone, Pastor. Come on, somebody. Don't you feel that in your spirit?
And so, Joshua is fighting, and they noticed the trend that when the pastor's hands were weary and feeble, the enemy prevailed. Sister Jessica, who's preaching with us? When the pastor's hands or Moses' hands, the shepherd's hands was feeble, the enemy would prevail. But as long as his hands were up, come on, there was power given to God's people.
Praise God. We have the Demas family, have Peter Kelly, and Pastor says he wishes so bad he was here with us all.
Come on, somebody, get behind Pastor right now. Come on, worship with your pastor right now. Oh, come on, somebody, let's worship together as the church. Right there in your living room, your kitchen, wherever you're at, come on, lift up Pastor Grant in the name of Jesus. Call out his name in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for a supernatural touch here this morning. Oh, lift up your voice right now. I'm calling this church to pray today. Lift up your voice. Pray. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let me move quickly through this next part. And I want you to keep that spirit of prayer that you're feeling come upon you right now, because we're getting ready to go into some prayer. The principle is simple. Jesus said, He said, for it's written, I'll smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. The adversary headhunts your leaders. It's a matter of spiritual authority. The devil will attack first the shepherd and then he'll try to take out the rest of the sheep. When the shepherd does not, it will not be broken, then he cycles and he goes behind like he did in the book of Exodus, and he'll attack the weak and the feeble and the women. In other words, your adversary is a loser. Because when he can't break the shepherd or the leaders, he'll go attack somebody that he can feel good about attacking, the weak. But there is a principle that you should be sensitive to spiritually. You should always be looking after your leaders. Your leaders are being attacked. Hell is trying to destroy. It's unbiblical and it's not apostolic for Holy Ghost-filled people to sit back in coast mode, sipping their coffee in their PJs, taking the day off, worried about me, myself, and I alone. That's unbiblical and it's unscriptural. The scripture says we need to be looking after the leaders in our life. I want you to notice very quickly the similarities between the old scripture that I just read and the New Testament scripture I just read for our scripture. The similarities is this: they unified together. Nothing will sink a ship quicker than disunity or being ununified. Nothing. I promise you, anytime God's getting ready to do it, I've seen it time and time again. God's getting ready to move a church, help a church, break through a church, and all of a sudden, the weak, in other words, the carnal people, they just start, it's like they go nuts. Yeah, Paul called it carnal when the people in Corinth were backbiting, sowing division and disunity and talking against leaders. He said, you're carnal. I wish I could give you a T-bone steak, he said, but because how carnal you are, I have to come up with a little Baba milk and feed you some milk. Let me say this. If you're talking against anybody in the church, if you're talking about leaders, if you're being critical, if you're causing divisions, that's not of God. It's unscriptural, and you are carnal for doing so, and you should find an altar, and you should repent. There should be no secret conversations against anything going on, amen, that would bring down. They kept the focus on the adversary. They fought the problem and not each other. They didn't judge one another. They didn't put down one another for going through the battle. I want to say it again. You better guard your heart from a critical spirit. Guard your heart from a critical spirit. You go back and you watch it. People who have gotten critical over leaders. Does that mean leaders are perfect? I already told you we put our shoes and pastor puts his shoes on one day at a time, one foot at a time. I've said this 1,000 times. I don't know why God called me to evangelize with my current condition of road rage. Now, there's some people out there I'm relating to. Come on, somebody. God works through human vessels. allow leaders to experience a little bit of humanity. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if my pastor didn't let me in close to his humanity and I realized, oh, he's a man too. Joshua's sitting there fighting, trying to put the whoop on the adversary. And he's realizing it ebb and flow. Man, we're doing so good in this, and all of a sudden we're getting pushed back.
We should get tired of the back and forth.
A little bit of victory, all of a sudden we're knocked back 5 steps. A little bit of victory and you're knocked back.
We should get tired of that in our life and in the church.
Looks up however it happened, but there was people that noticed a trend. When Moses' hands were up, man, God's people were putting the stomp on the adversary. But because of humanity, not in a sinful way, but just humanity, his arms begin to tremble. How many of you have ever tried to hold weight up and all of a sudden you get a little weak and shaky until you can't do it no more? I know enough about Moses to know that he held his hands up there as long as he could until he just could not hold it up any longer. Come on, somebody. Do I have to preach to you that your pastor is for you and your pastor will exhaust himself for you? Your pastor will hold his hands up until he just cannot hold them up any longer. Your pastor has your back. Come on, somebody. And now they're noticing a trend that when Moses' hands fell down, the enemy prevailed. And so finally, they grabbed a seat, said, Moses, sit down. Aaron stood on one side, Hur on the other side, and they held up Moses' hands. Till the going down of the sun.
They didn't get critical. They didn't turn their eyes and their heart and their spirit against the pastor. Come on, we got some more people coming in, texting. Bring it up over here. Just come up and interrupt me, sis. Whenever there are people commenting. Unity. A single draft horse can pull up to an 8,000-pound load. The strength involved in this is hard to imagine. So then we could speculate what would happen if we hooked 2 draft horses up together. You would instantly think that if one could pull 16,000 pounds, and or one could pull 8,000, then two could pull 16,000. But you'd be wrong. Because 2 draft horses pulling together cannot pull twice as much as the one. They can actually pull 3 times the amount. So 2 draft horses yoked together with each other, one at a time, they can pull 8,000, but together, 2 of them can pull 24,000 pounds. I think the horses are teaching us a very strong and clear lesson of teamwork, amen, that the more of us we have working together, the more that we can accomplish together. Let me just breeze through this. You can, and this is a side note, but you can work on the team, but not be a part of the team. You can be on the same page as the pastor, but not be on the same page as the pastor. Just because you're doing doesn't mean that you're doing it as a team. The same principle is found when God says God loves a cheerful giver. That means that when you got a $100 bill and God says give it, you're like this. And there's others that when God says give the change in your pocket, you're like. Both are giving. One's doing it with the right spirit and attitude, the other one is not. You can be on the team, but only be looking out for yourself and not the overall benefit of the team. Jesus said, I've chosen 12, one of you is a devil. The disciples got to the place where they were wondering who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, who could sit on the right hand and who could be with him the closest, and Jesus just simply made it all plain and clear, and he said this, he said, the greatest among you is going to be the servant of all. So many times leaders have heard this, Pastor John. Well, the pastor's playing favorites. I don't expect you to get yourself in trouble and agree with me on any of this, but it's favoritism. Jesus chose 12, and yet it was Peter, James, and John that was asked continually to be taken apart. My pastor addressed it like this and said, it's not favoritism. The truth of the matter is that there's some people that they'll literally give of themselves to get as close to the shepherd as they possibly can. They will be texting him. They will be calling him. They'll be asking him every Sunday, is there anything I can do? How can I pray? How can I serve? Do you need help this week? Hey, pastor, I'm praying for you. Listen, it's not favoritism, but when you have somebody that falls in love with the work of the ministry and they get as close to the pastor or the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ, amen, it's hard not to use people like that. So, it causes me to ask a question. When's the last time that you have texted Pastor Roy Grant and said, hey, I just want you to know today that I was moved upon to pray for you in prayer. And here's a scripture for you. You are my leader. Anything I can do for you. When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you've called Pastor Grant or Sister Lois and said, hey, I just want you to know that I am so thankful for all of the years of service and sacrifice that you have poured into me and my family. When's the last time that you've literally called them or texted them or wrote them or did anything to let them know how much you appreciate them? If not one time, you have no room to stand on saying they're playing favorites. Let me just politely remind some people that you wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Pastor Grant and this leadership staff fighting for you. Your marriage wouldn't be put together. Your home life wouldn't be put together. You wouldn't be saved and on a church pew if it wasn't for your pastor and the leadership team. Certainly, certainly, that's well deserving of a simple text message every once in a while saying, hey, I just want you to know I have your back. I've watched epic videos on the safaris of Africa. I've seen the circle of life happen. Lions attacking herds of zebras, crocodiles coming out of the water, latching on to gazelles, dragging them into the water, the circle of life. But I've also seen a pack of lions or lionesses, however you'd say that last word, a pride, lion pride, prey on a weakened or a young water buffalo or Cape buffalo. And they have six lions that are on this Cape buffalo, and that Cape buffalo is absolutely helpless. It will die unless something changes. And I've watched the videos where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you got three or four or five Cape buffaloes that are running side by side. And they go in there with their horns, they gore the lions, and they flip the lions off. And then they begin to circle the weak or the ones that are being attacked, and they begin to fight for each other. Me and my pastor were hunting in Kansas. And he watched and witnessed as a flock of turkeys were out in a field. And all of a sudden, a coyote peeked up onto the horizon and came down to the turkeys. And once he got into close proximity of the turkeys, you would think it's a no-brainer that the coyote gets one of those turkeys, it's over. But he watched as five turkeys stood side by side. They fluffed out their wings, and they literally charged that coyote and ran it off the field. You know what God told me needs to happen here in the Holy Ghost? We need to get something in our minds and our mentality. Something has to shift for this church where we understand what's going on in the spirit and we understand the spiritual ramifications if we fall asleep at the wheel. Amen. And today in the Holy Ghost, what's going to happen is the church of God, we're going to stand up and we're going to unite. We're going to go arm in arm with our pastor and with our brothers and with our sisters. And we're going to storm the gates of hell and we're going to stand in the gap and say, not today, devil, not at this church, not with this family, not with my pastor. Devil, get your hands off of my pastor. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 1,000 on somebody. I feel the touch of the Lord settling in this place. Anybody else preaching? Come on up here.
Praise God.
Let's worship with those that are worshiping with us.
Sister Pam Marino, Brittany Stackhouse, and a young man, Joshua Coppernall, in an Aurora Summit Hospital with COVID. We have a visitor online who's joining in who needs Jesus.
Come on, somebody, let's worship together.
I'm going to wrap it up here. Just hang with me. We've only had one service today. Come on, you can hang with me. Verse 5 says, and prayer was made without ceasing from the church. Peter was placed in a position where he could no longer be the difference maker. That's why Pastor Roy Grant's heart right now is bleeding back home as he wishes he could be here. It's the heartbeat of every leader, every shepherd. I want to be a part of what God's doing. Peter was in a place where he could no longer be the difference maker. Herod's persecution would have succeeding in taking Peter's life apart from two things that did not fit into Herod's puzzle. The first thing was it wasn't God's will for Peter to die, and it wasn't God's will for him to be removed from the picture. The second thing that stood in the way was Herod did not count on the power of unity that comes from a church family that says, you know what, it's not just a one-way street. He has stood up for us, and now it's our time to lock arms together and stand up for our pastor.
Hey,
Pastor John, I can answer one of the questions. I can talk to you about the will of God for one of them, the puzzle pieces, and that is it's not the will of God for Brother Grant to be removed from the picture right now. God still has a work for Brother Grant in his ministry, amen. I prophesied to him the first time I came, amen, the Jezebel spirit that is rising up against him and attacking the church. I told him just like Elijah was able to see the death and prophesy the death of Jezebel, he's going to watch this enemy fall. He's going to see this enemy be broken, amen. There's still a work to be done from your pastor. But hey, the second part of the puzzle I cannot answer. It will only be answered by your response today, and that is there a church that's going to step up? Is there a church that's going to get it in their spirit that, you know what, I've had enough of this stuff. I've had enough of this back and forth battle. I'm tired of this ebb and flow of back and forth. I'm tired of seeing Brother Grant get a push of faith in his spirit, but he can't do it alone. And so in his humanity, he gets weak, and then the enemy prevails. And then finally, he gets another burst of wind, and he prevails with his hands up. I'm tired of the back and forth. You know what? That ends today. That ends right here, right now. Why? Because the church is going to rally behind the leader. Leadership, and the church is going to step up to the plate. God has spoken to me very clearly. Trust me, I told Brother Grant, I said, I thought for sure the next time I came here, I'd be able to just operate as an evangelist. I'd be able to talk to you about Jesus' name baptism. I'd be able to pull for a harvest. I'd be able to preach this faith. It was just in my mind. Until 2.5 weeks ago, the Holy Ghost started talking to my heart and laying context on my heart and talking to me about the next phase of this church. This is what God spoke to me and said. The problem going on right now is not because of a lack of vision from your leadership staff or a lack of vision from your pastor. The problem right now is the church is laying in their pajamas, sipping coffee, unaware of what's happening in the spirit. The adversary has lulled so many of us to sleep, it's not even funny. There's no awareness. It's just you wake up, it's your job, it's 8 to 5, it's what you want to do, it's your life, and there's no awareness right now that all hell is pulling out everything they can to target and to headhunt leadership because of where God is taking them. And the whole time, the church is just back sipping their PJs, or sitting in their PJs, sipping coffee in the morning, and I've come to preach with everything I have. That's not the will of God, and God is calling people, this entire church, to step up and to begin to pray and fast and fight hell for your leaders.
This is what I do know. I'm not saying COVID-19. It's all just a spiritual attack. It's everybody. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. There's more people here that has it as well. And thankfully, they're using wisdom. They're quarantining like we should. So I'm not saying that COVID right now is just all hell blitzing out. But what I do know about humanity is this, that when I am weak and my body is weak and I'm physically sick, that's when I'm the most vulnerable to listen to the lies of hell. And that's when I am personally weak. And while our day is just going about it, did you know? Well, I talked with Brother Grant. He told me how he felt a turning. He's told me, not everything, but told me that this is literally worn him out. And I get it. It's just not him. But I promise you, he's praying for other people. But who's going to step up to the plate and pray for him? I pray to God that conviction. I'm praying right now a spirit of conviction, Pastor John, will fall upon this congregation. When you take the day off, when you're saying woe to, it says woe to them that are ease in Zion. When you take the day off, there are spiritual ramifications. Let's all stand. Praise team, would you join me? If I could get just a tad bit more monitor up here. I didn't read all the scripture, but it was in a hopeless situation where the pastor or Peter could not do any more about it, that the church stepped up. And because of the church's praying without ceasing, the Bible says the Lord sent an angel. Wouldn't that be awesome if the church could rally together and God would send an angel right now to your pastor and touch his body with supernatural strength? Listen, this I want to be honest with you. I just don't want a supernatural strength on his body, but your pastor's mind is weary. He hasn't told me that. I know it is. He preaches faith, 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 faith. And hell bombards his mind nonstop. I'm praying this, that what God starts here, it's not just going to touch him to where he can barely operate. But there's a supernatural touch of God that's going to touch him, where he comes out of this in a supernatural, a new dimension of the Holy Ghost, a new dimension of vision in his mind and his spirit. Come on, a new anointing that's upon him. I am calling to the church that gone are the days of leaving hell unchecked. I feel like God has given me direction for this church. A word of wisdom, what to do. The first thing that we're going to do is up here on this table. I have three calendars. I have October, November, and December. Closes out the year. It's hard to believe. And I am calling upon this church to step up and to cover every one of these days with the exception of Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, and Christmas. To cover every one of these days with a name that says, you know what, on this day, I am going to spend a 24-hour season of time and I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast for the leadership of this church and especially for my pastor. Those that are watching online, I want you to comment on the comments. Sister Jessica, she's going to come and you're going to tell her what date you want to take from right now. I think it's the 10th or is it the 11th? From now
until the end of December, I want prayer and fasting to be had for leadership, namely your pastor as well. And not just them, but those that are under his leadership care. If he has ever gone to war for you, certainly in a church this size, there should be double the names. There should be two or three names on every date that is available. And here's instructions for those that are going to put the name on this calendar, and you're going to commit to praying and fasting for your leaders. On your day of prayer and fasting, I'm asking you to get a scripture. Pray for a scripture, and I'm asking you to text Pastor Roy Grant and Pastor John and the leadership team your scripture for them, and I want you to say something encouraging to your leaders. It's getting a little quiet up in here. I promise nobody is as hot as I am right now. Caleb, don't stay back there with that burden. Come up front with that. Those online, text Pastor John or Pastor Jessica and let them know what date you want. Come on, there shouldn't be one day apart from Thanksgiving, apart from Christmas Eve and Christmas that does not have at least one to two, three names on it. Church, I'm telling you right now in the Holy Ghost that if you step up and you do this with all your heart, something's going to shift in the spirit realm of this place for this church. Amen. And you're going to step out and you're going to have a breakthrough. Praise team, I want you to sing as they're coming. Come on, man, up alumni. You've heard it more than anybody that we need to reject passivity. You shouldn't have anybody to have to tell you to gather the men together once a month and pray for the leadership.
All that I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire. Set me on fire.
Somebody touch the throne of God right now. Put your name down. Fill these altars right now. Lift up your pastor. Lift up your leadership in this church for just a moment.
Pouring out my life gracefully
falling asleep, amen. If you need a new fire in your spirit, why don't you come to this altar, lift your hands and begin to cry out. If you need a renewing of the Holy Ghost upon you, why don't you start with repentance, amen. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for coasting. I'm sorry, God, for not doing my part. Forgive me.
of Jesus. Stir me, God, stir me.
Here I am, God, arms wide open.
Come on, even now, God, as we pray. God, I pray that you would dispatch an angel right now to Brother Grant's house. I speak in the name of Jesus to the sickness that, Lord, is upon this church. This, Lord, is being used as a distraction. God, unite us, help us, strengthen us together.
God, arms wide open.
That's it. Come on. Come on in the name of Jesus.
For it. My life gracefully broken. All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am and find my heart. The altar again, set me on fire. Set me on fire.
Come on, I want, as people are still coming to write their names, I want you to tarry in the altars with me.
Stands in all of your name, your mighty love. Stands strong to the end, you will fulfill your purpose in me.
In the name of Jesus.
Here I am.
Come on, somebody, stir yourself in the Spirit of God.
Arms wide open.
have the department leaders and the pastoral staff come with me up on to the platform. I want you to make your way here. I gave Pastor Jessica, some instructions of what to do with these calendars here. She's going to make duplicates of these calendars. Also, we will adjust the date on the top, but she will make duplicates of the calendars. I want her to post them in the prayer room and wherever else the leadership pastoral staff feels like we should post these. But listen to me, I don't want us to feel a burden, to pray about a burden, and then us go out to Culver's today and lunch and have this burden slip away from you. I'm calling this church to war. I'm telling you, it's the missing link right now. There are too many people disconnected and on the fringes. I'm calling us to war. And so I've asked the social media team to make sure at least one time a week we're posting this. Don't forget your prayer and fasting. If you need reference the calendar, once she gets the finalized calendars up around the building, take pictures of it. Set your alarms on your phone. Remind yourself, listen, I'm going to go to war for my pastor. I'm going to go to war for the leadership team. So they're going to be posted throughout. And from what I'm seeing, it's looking like we're pretty much filled up on every date. And again, I do realize I have the wrong calendars up here. I have a 2020 calendar. Sister Jessica, she's going to print out the right one, and she's going to rewrite all the names on the appropriate days. Okay? So, first off, she still has names that are coming in from online. I think we need to worship God together. I said, I think we need to worship God together. Listen, we're a church. Where's the pastoral staff and the department heads? I want you up here. I know we got a lot of them that are sick. The department leaders. I might be saying it wrong. Here, Sister Jessica will help all the department leaders. Ben Thompson, are you in the house? I told them to call names of the department heads, and I'll just call. I'm probably saying the wrong things and sending confusion. I apologize. Yep, that's perfect. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
for the sake of social distancing and for the sake of just doing what's safe, I'm setting this cloth that we just anointed as the Bible instructs us to pray for the sick. We have anointed this together, and I'm going to set it right here. If your pastor or this church or anybody on the leadership team has ever blessed you, I want you to start a line right here with my sister and make a single file line that wraps all the way around the church, far as it needs to. And we're going to have the praise team lift up their voice in another powerful song. And I want you to walk by. I don't want you to spend 20 seconds at the table. I want you to walk by and just simply say, in the name of Jesus, let healing flow. And I want you to keep walking. And we're going to have a prayer line in a little bit of a unique way, but we're going to have a prayer line. So right here from behind my sister right here, make a single file line and wrap it all the way around the church building. Some of you right here in the back, you might want to just go to the back because the line will be there. Praise team, I need a powerful song. Amen. Touch the throne of God. Leadership, as these people come through and pray, I want us to lift up our voices up here and pray. Go ahead. Praise team, whatever they're feeling, go ahead and start walking. I want you to walk by and just simply say, in the name of Jesus, I pray healing upon my pastor. I pray blessing. Amen. I want you to pray. God, restore his mind. Restore vision. Just make him, Lord, to walk in a place he's never walked before. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's lift up our voice. Let's pray.
Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpets out. Praise him for the victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. Praise him for the victory.
Lift up your voice and sing.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet, shout.
Praise him for the victory.
From Pastor Roy, he says, love you all, church. We can, we will. The enemy has no power to stop what God has placed in motion. Don't tell me we can. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Apostolic war
worship flow in this place. Let there be a dance in the congregation. Let there be a shout in the congregation. Come on, lift up your voice. Worship Him. Love Him. Magnify Him. Let's shout with victory in this house. Amen. Come on, somebody.
Pastor Fabian said, don't worry about it. I want to make one last announcement before we're dismissed. The Wisconsin District Prayer Conference is coming up on October 15th and 16th, and it will be in Fond du Lac at the Sanctuary Church. Topics covered will be training on building a local church prayer team, building an effective pre-service prayer team, strengthening the local church prayer meeting, confronting the COVID psychological warfare through prayer ministry. Does that sound familiar? Recalling and recasting the apostolic identity through prayer. Praise God. We'll be right in line with that. Please remember to fast and pray for your pastor and for Calvary Gospel Church, for your neighbors, for your own ministry. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Amen. Everyone say victory. I said everyone say victory. In Jesus' name.